Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Saturday, July 22nd, 2017. I have some early impressions for you for the early access of Fortnite. Fortnite is the new Epic game that has been in development for several years and finally reached early access. It's a paid early access to what will eventually be a free-to-play game. So I have a hard time recommending anyone actually plunk down dollars for what is going to be a free game. But I managed to get a code from Epic for this, so I've been checking it out. And it's a pretty impressive game. It's a mishmash of a whole lot of very familiar concepts that manages to make something that feels pretty fresh, but is also kind of overwhelming in a lot of ways. When this actually does go free-to-play, it's got a lot of those crazy free-to-play trappings, progression upon progression upon progression, loot chests and loot piñatas and XP and schematics and skill trees. There are so many crazy things to upgrade. You upgrade NPC groups and squads and hero characters and weapons. It's got a lot of progression systems going on, and a lot of that just seemed very daunting and kind of oppressive. After you complete a mission, there are so many things to think about and do and make decisions for. I mean, I love role-playing trappings. I love progression systems. I like leveling up, but you level up your heroes. You manage their gadgets. You level up NPCs and manage your defenders. You manage your squads. You manage research points. You recycle schematics, you have commander points in these different skill trees. There's a lot of stuff to do that I guess will get more exciting and deeper as I progress into it. I've only played a few hours, and what I've played so far is pretty impressive. So I guess I should start back at the beginning and say Fortnite is a kind of a tower defense slash third-person action game. It actually reminds me a lot of Orcs Must Die, if you've played any of the Orcs Must Die games, where you are a third-person action game, you're setting up traps, and you're defending against hordes of bad guys coming at you. What Fortnite adds to the mix here is a bunch of base building that Orcs Must Die doesn't really have, where you create these massive forts that you and your squad mates, it's a big co-op experience as well, you and your squad mates can build all these crazy constructions, which is really fun and cool, also a little overwhelming because the options there are crazy and you're unlocking new parts and doodads that you can add to your forts when you build them. And in the first few hours anyway, the hordes, which actually are pretty cool. The whole design of this game is, I think, visually very appealing and very interesting. It's got this sort of 3D animated Pixar look to it. And I find it very, very attractive and really fun to be in that world. Everything's a little exaggerated, a little cartoonish. And the husks, which is what they call their zombies, man, that design is, it's cartoony and a little whimsical, but it's also really dark. These zombies are like coming out of the bodies of people, and they have pulled back the face and skull of humans that they've emerged from, and they're like resting on the back of their neck like a hood. So it's like they pulled back the mask of the human being and just rested it on their back like a hoodie. Ugh, it's really, really disturbing when you think about it, but kind of cool too. Anyway, these things are rushing at you, and at least in the first several missions that you do in the beginning of this early access version of the game, it's not particularly challenging. You're just kind of unloading on them with all your weapons and all of the preparation that I made, all the base building and trap setting. It's not particularly necessary because I'm able to just lay waste to them with my assault rifle. And that's fun. It's fun, you know, shooting through massive hordes of zombies. But I assume the game gets much more challenging. In fact, I've been reading up on the Reddit for this game because I've been trying to sort through all the progression systems and figure out what I should be putting my points into and trying to understand where I should be heading down this progression path. And people are talking about, you know, 10 to 15 hours in, the game gets really challenging. But that's a slow ramp. Right now, it's very forgiving and very simple to keep going. I'm going to be playing more Fortnite, and I'm going to play it with friends, so I'll have more to tell you soon. Time for a call-in now. This one comes from Josh. He wants to talk about esports. And remember, you can always send call-ins to the show using the Anchor app. It's so easy. You just push the call-in button and record your voice and send it to me. Anything you'd like to talk about, whether it's games you're playing, games I'm playing, stuff I've talked about on the show, gaming news, or if you have something you'd like to recommend to your fellow listeners, it's easy to do. Just send a call in into the show. I'd love to hear it. All right, to that end, let's talk about esports with Josh.
Hey, man, what do you think of esports? What do you think of Overwatch? And what do you think of the new League of Legends franchises? So the franchise of League of Legends and Overwatch. Would love your thoughts. Thanks, bro. See ya.
Thanks for the call in, Josh. I love esports. I think it's the future. No doubt in my mind that esports is the future. We're going to see in just, I don't know, I think inside the next decade, we're going to see esports continue to grow to the point where it really is shoulder to shoulder with traditional sports. And I think the first step of that is what you're talking about, is with this franchising of new teams in both League of Legends and Overwatch. I think both Riot and Blizzard understand what they're doing here and understand that this is really the template that's going to make esports take that next step into mainstream popularity. So what are we talking about? We're talking about League of Legends and Overwatch both announcing franchising for new teams in a new franchised league. That means they're basically setting up the structure for teams to operate the way that more traditional sports operate, like the NBA, the NFL, and MLB. So there is a bunch of teams. Overwatch has already announced their first few starting teams, and those are based and attached to cities like you would have, you know, the San Francisco Giants in baseball or the Chicago Bulls in basketball. These are based on localities, which I think is a really smart choice. It gives people who are maybe new to esports and don't understand who Cloud9 or Dignitas are or any of the sort of established esports names, an attachment point. Hey, I grew up in Boston. I want to follow the Boston team. Hey, I'm from Shanghai. I want to follow the Shanghai team. So Overwatch League has announced their first, seven cities? New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, Miami, Orlando, Shanghai, and Seoul. So it's an international league, which I think is pretty exciting in and of itself. And this has drawn the investment of some very prominent mainstream rich people. and honestly, a lot of these people are from traditional sports, which is, I think, very encouraging as well. They not only see the investment value here, but they bring a history and an experience level in managing these brands, these teams. So, for example, the Boston team is going to be owned by Robert Kraft. He's the same guy that owns the New England Patriots. And the New York team is going to be owned by Jeff Wilpon, who is the COO of the New York Mets. So there's a lot of experience here brought to bear on making these teams work on a global marketplace. And I think that's going to do wonders for Overwatch. League is operating similarly, but in a different way. They haven't announced that they will have the teams be attached to cities, although that's certainly possible. They kind of haven't announced the details of that yet. But in both cases, there is a very big licensing fee. There's a big fee that is paid to either Riot or Blizzard for the opportunity to apply. That's like $10 million or $20 million respectively in order to even just get consideration. But that's not unusual. That's what NBA teams do, $300 million the last time the Charlotte Hornets were brought into the league. Pretty standard and actually kind of cheap in that regard. And then there's revenue sharing among the teams. There's revenue sharing for the players. So it really is set up structurally very similar to how mainstream sports are done, and that has proven to be effective. It's proven to be a useful structure. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of that. There's a lot of really interesting articles you can read about how all of that profit sharing is going to work. I'm more interested in, from the viewer's standpoint, what kind of experience that's going to bring. First of all, it's going to ensure that the level of play is really high because money is available. So money is going to draw talent and is going to draw commitment levels. These guys are going to do this in a very serious way. And it's probably also going to encourage broadcast strategies for these teams and for these games that will rival the stuff you see on Monday Night Football, for example. And I think that's going to lend a level of legitimacy to the whole endeavor that the mainstream may not see yet. And it is only going to get more sophisticated, more interesting, and more mainstream. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to root for my Los Angeles Overwatch team. I'm certainly not the biggest League of Legends player. I'm excited about, you know, rooting for Heroes of the Storm because that's my game. And I think that we will gravitate toward the games we love. But I'm excited for this all to be a greater tapestry of esports in general. What do you think? You excited for esports? I'd love to hear your thoughts.